fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome to My Weekly Mixtape, a podcast that takes the classic mixtape approach to building a modern playlist. I'm your host, Brian Colburn. Joining me tonight, once again, as guest curator, is my former Toon Styles co-host, Jay Sweet. Jay, welcome back, man.
Hey, man. Good to be here. Never a dull moment.
That it's not. And tonight, we're going visual. Now, not really. It's still an audio-only podcast. I'm not changing that. That's too much work. But tonight, you and I are going to take on a challenge that we haven't done in many years. We did this once back in our Toon Styles days, and it was a lot of fun. So I figured, why not revisit that with a couple of more years of hindsight on our ends here? And that is talking about iconic album covers. So I like to use you as like a guinea pig for some of these episode ideas because
fair enough.
It's very tough to describe album covers without the visual on screen.
Right.
And now you and I are going to have to do that back and forth 20 times in a row.
Well, I think you made it easy, though, because we're talking about, you know, easily recognizable album covers, right? I've got a list of literally 100. So, you know, you could go in any direction, but these are from where I pulled from. You wouldn't have to describe them. The minute we announce what, you know, title we're going to go with, what title I want to pick, you will automatically see that vision in your head.
I hope so. But just to be safe, I'm going to put all the album covers we're talking about tonight in a gallery on the episode page at myweeklymixtape.com. So you could watch the album covers. They're not going to do anything. They're just going to be photos of them. But you could look at them while we're talking about them. It's as close to video as you're going to get, people. So I hope you enjoy it as we go down this memory lane of iconic album covers that we have collectively spent, I'm just going to assume, hours and hours staring at growing up, be it on album cover, cassette, or possibly CD. I know some of mine were CD only, sans some of the vinyl re-releases that have happened in recent years. But wait, there's a twist. Jay, it might be fun for us to rattle off 20 album covers and talk about why we like them, and we're going to do that. But this is My Weekly Mixtape. And in true My Weekly Mixtape fashion, there has to be a playlist to attach to it. So, Jay, I'm just going to lay this on you now. This is the first time you're hearing this. As we go through this, you're going to have to pick one song from each album so we could build a playlist to go along with these album covers.
M. Night Shyamalan is in shock. What a twist.
Well, given the fact we're talking album art over songs here, this playlist can either strangely make sense or be an absolute train wreck, which if it is a train wreck, you won't actually be able to see it because it's not video. So, haha. But Jay, it would not be a full My Weekly Mixtape conversation if we did not include the fellow mixtapers and several over on the Patreon Mixtaper channel, which is patreon.com/ My Weekly Mixtape, chimed in with some of their favorite album covers, and I want to give a shout out to a few of those. Seeker chimed in from Australia saying, album covers for many rock and metal bands sell the brand as much as the aesthetic of the album. I couldn't agree with that more. No more so than Iron Maiden, Derek Rigg, and Eddie. As to my favorite album cover, it comes down to Iron Maiden's Power Slave, Live After Death, or Somewhere in Time. Seeker calls it Peak Riggs. Why? Well, the Power Slave is majestic, Egyptian, and monumental. Live After Death is a dynamic representation of their live show, and Somewhere in Time is chock full of Maiden-related Easter eggs. Having just seen the Future Past World Tour this past year, I have to say that Somewhere in Time album cover is truly full of Maiden Easter eggs, and it's a hell of an album. Philip Bergman chimed in with the Beatles' Revolver. Chad LaMassa chimed in with Living Colors Vivid, saying it's colorful and hectic and matches the vibe of the album perfectly. And finally, Tom Hutchinson chimed in with Baroness, the blue record, saying all Baroness album art is drawn by the lead singer John, and the artwork for all their albums is incredible and so detailed. But the blue album has so many elements and is a conversation piece, as well as one of the best stoner rock albums of all time, in his opinion. So thank you to all the fellow Patreon mixtapers for chiming in. And if you'd like to become a part of the mixtaper community, you can join for free over at patreon.com/myweeklymixtape.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
So Jay, with those Patreon picks out in the atmosphere, as Olivia Newton-John would say, let's get visual or something like that. Which album cover are you choosing to kick things off tonight?
We're going off with a bang. I'm going with Queen's News of the World.
Nice.
I think that's the perfect way to start this off. One of the most iconic Queen albums covers, as it were, because of the, you know, you've got the giant robot and it's holding so many pop culture references, because even Family Guy took a whole stab at it when Stewie was terrified of the album cover. And at the end, the giant robot saves the family. It's great. But yeah, from where I was coming from when we set out on this project, my thinking is if I say the name of the album, you should immediately see that picture in your head.
And Queen had no shortage of iconic album covers. Even the simplicity of A Night at the Opera jumps out at me. And then you think about even the iconic inside of jazz with the naked women riding the bikes. They had no rules or boundaries when it came to what they did. For me, I had in my bank of album covers Queen 2 with their four faces on the album cover. Mm-hmm. Because to me, that's an iconic image that kind of got portrayed into the album. But News of the World is certainly one of those album covers that I spent a lot of time as a kid staring at, because it felt almost comic book-esque outside of the music being absolutely incredible. And with that is my follow-up. You have to pick, as our friend Jason Whistle over on There Can Only Be One, you have to pick one song from this album to represent it for this playlist tonight.
Ooh. You know what? I could go with We Will Rock You, because it's a great album opener. It's as you've done on this show in the past, we've done it on Tune Styles, fantastic opening track, and it's a great way to, it's good symbolism to how we're going to open this mixtape. But you know what? I'm going to go with Spread Your Wings.
Wow.
Because it kind of gives you an idea of where we're going to go on this. We're just opening up. Spread your wings, get ready to fly.
All right. Well, I think musically, I'm going to stay in a similar vein to Queen to follow this up, because I'm thinking album art covers that are iconic, but now we're also thinking a mixtape here. So I got to come out of Queen with something that doesn't left turn too much here, but again, captures one of the greatest album covers of all time. So, all right. I know who I'm going to go with. I just don't know the album yet, because this person had so many iconic album covers. Off the top of my head, Heroes could easily go here.
Ooh.
Ziggy Stardust could easily go here. But when I think about David Bowie, it's tough. I think the most iconic album cover for him, and this could be argued because he has so many iconic album moments, cover art alone. Let's take the music aside here. I'm going to go with the follow-up to Ziggy Stardust and Aladdin Sane.
All right.
The androgynous David Bowie, that image, just that photo at the time was the most expensive album art ever created.
Yep.
Try to wrap your mind around that. And that was shot by Brian Duffy. And it is literally just Bowie with the red hair and that red and blue lightning bolt. And it's been used in Bowie concerts over the years, but it's not like it's something that he kind of used all the time over the decades. It's just that album cover. But for some reason, when people think of David Bowie, that's the first image they go to. So I think for this episode, that has to be the one. Although personally, the album cover I grew up staring at the most was Diamond Dogs.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say
that album was the one my parents happened to be playing the most when I was younger. So Rebel Rebel and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, Aladdin Sane has to take it here. And for songs, I think I'll go with the Gene Genie for this one.
All right. Good choice coming out of Spread Your Wings. Very good. Yeah, Ziggy Stardust and that whole persona. Bowie had a great habit and propensity to kind of reinvent personas for every album that he did. And it spoke volumes, often eclipsing some of the music in terms of how it resonated with his listeners, with his fans. So great choice. I had it on my list for sure. And the Gene Genie is a great tune. So how do I come out of David Bowie? Let's stay with the classic rock for now. I got a lot of classic rock because they were, I mean, you're talking the invention of album art, right? And how to sell your records.
I feel like a lot of the classic rock album covers are going to be at the top of this conversation because at the time, when you think about this from a marketing perspective, album covers, when people were in a record store, were sometimes their introduction to that artist's music.
That's right.
So when you think about Queen's News of the World and David Bowie's Aladdin Sane, these album covers, people saw them. And if you think about the music that's on each of those albums, doesn't the cover kind of tell you what you're about to hear? And maybe not a perfect color by numbers way, but there is a representation of the music in those album covers, at least from my humble opinion.
I think so, too. And I think that's why a show like this works so well, why this concept works so well, is because it pulls back your core memory unlocked, you know, mentality of being young and being introduced to music, walking into your local record store for the first time and seeing walls of album art and posters. And when you look at a cassette, and this is kind of where the side of a tangent, but this is kind of where the formats of the media came into play because, you know, back when we were younger, when we were kids, the album art was on the 33s on the albums. You couldn't really see the cassettes. You know, you see the spines of the cassettes or the CDs. And for a little while, I think that worked for CDs because of the long boxes, right?
Oh, yeah.
Back before we got environmentally conscious.
Yes.
We're wasting, killing trees and wasting cardboard. But again, iconic art cover, you know, for long boxes on CDs, they weren't exactly the most, like, you can't rifle through them and see. They're harder to post on a wall, like an album would be, like a vinyl record.
I think the worst offender of those were the cassettes in the 80s where they took the album cover, but they squared it off at the top. And then the bottom half of the cassette J card was just black with the name of the artist and the name of the album. Those were my least favorite art aspect of any type of format ever because it was so tiny and you could barely, you had to kind of stare at it as if we are looking at anything now, kind of holding it right up close and pulling it back a little bit, you know, a little blurry as we're getting where we are in age. But I digress. Next album pick.
Let's go with Pink Floyd. We'll nail this one off the top as well and go Dark Side of the Moon, of course.
Of course.
The probably most, arguably most iconic. I also could have gone with Wish You Were Here and The Wall, of course, very iconic in and of itself. But I think one, when one is describing or introducing a new listener to Pink Floyd, one begins with Dark Side of the Moon.
One of the most iconic prisms of all time?
I guess, yeah. Beside the one that was in my physics class, right?
Yes.
That was the whole thing about being in physics class that made it fun was that my teacher would, you know, Pink Floyd, here's why, here's how that works. Oh, cool. So.
And the song from it that you're choosing?
Oh, for a song, let's see, coming out of the Gene Genie. I'm going Great Gig in the Sky.
Ooh.
With that gorgeous vocal over the top, the screaming. Unbelievable.
I don't think anybody our age whose parents grew up listening to classic rock, I have to add that, because as I'm sure there's some listeners whose parents grew up listening to country music. But for those of us that are our age that had parents that were into classic rock, my parents had Dark Side on 8-track. Mm-hmm. And there was something about 8-tracks that were just so, so terrible. I hated 8-tracks so much. You'd be in the middle of a great song and it would just stop and you'd have click. To wait, hear the click, wait for it to start up again. And it would like fade back in, yes. Totally killing the vibe. But anyway, yes. Dark Side of the Moon is definitely one of those album covers that is probably been framed more than any other one. There's posters of this album cover, and it's such a simplistic concept, but its execution is perfect. And it really does say what you're about to hear. It makes perfect sense. So obviously Pink Floyd is an on the nose pick, and Queen and David Bowie are obvious classic rock staples. So I'm going to stay in this classic rock vibe we've got going here. And I'm going to go with another band who once again has no shortage of iconic album covers. Physical Graffiti, Houses of the Holy, three, if you think about the album cover, because you could spin the wheel on the album. So that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite Led Zeppelin album was 2. But when it comes to album art, I think you have to acknowledge where it all began. The original album art, which was the black and white image of the Hindenburg taken by Sam Shear back in the 1930s. And it happened in New Jersey. So, I mean, it's like local album art.
Local setting.
It's tough, especially with that Physical Graffiti album cover, because every time I go to New York, I kind of want to go visit that building. And that one is another one I spent so many hours staring at. And then Houses of the Holy is so controversial at the time.
Yep.
And it was one of those album covers that went into full landscape mode when you open the album. So it wasn't just a square. It was actually a rectangular piece of art.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, Led Zeppelin 1, I think, edges out those albums just by a touch. And probably because, along with Led Zeppelin 2, it was the album I listened to most as a kid. But for the song, Great Gig in the Sky, we just came out of, Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Zeppelin is this album. I think I agree with a lot of what you said as to why it edges out all the other Zeppelin covers. And mostly it's one, this is our introduction to Zeppelin, period. It's the coming out in the summer of love, kind of, you know, post Woodstock, extra like real blues rocky, different kind of like introduction as to where we're going to go with this particular band. And this is kind of, you know, that's how my voice got real high there. This is one of those very blues, very, very heavy, sludgy blues, kind of good times, bad times, dazed and confused, real kind of sludgy blues rock. And then they kind of morph into that in the runes where they did a lot of like Hobbit imagery and J.R.R. Mm-hmm. Tolkien and, but maintain that beautiful sound and the shock value, I think, to tie it all back together, of that album cover is what kind of drives it to, all right, yeah, this is what started it all. This is our introduction to the band. And they use that iconic, oh, the humanity moment to kind of launch their career, which is not throwing any shade on the guys or on the tragedy of that event, but it really kind of, you know, pulls you into it for sure.
All right, what are we going to follow up this 4-pack of classic rock perfection?
Well, it's Stay in England, and we'll go with The Who. And again, mm-hmm. Here's another, pick an album. You could go any direction with this. But I'm going to go with Who's Next.
Okay.
Because of the controversy. I think it's extremely recognizable with the boys taking a pee on a monolithic piece of rock, and you know, and again, just a solid album from track one to track nine, and some of their hardest rocking tunes on this album for sure.
And with that, which one are you going to pick for this playlist?
I want to go with Behind Blue Eyes.
Oh,
I love that song. It is a great acoustic start, and then he gets into that bridge section where they're just rocking out, and picked up by Fred Durst a few years later. And I'm not a big Limp Bizkit fan. Wasn't really a huge fan of Fred Durst and Limp Bizkit, but I really think that he did the cover version of this song justice. So I'll give him some credit there. Give credit where credit is due. And I think that's a great song coming out of Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You.
I love Limp Bizkit and some of the Wes Borland inspired album covers that they've done over the years, I think are in a modern way iconic, because I spent so much time when I was in college and just graduating listening to those new metal albums that were all the rage at that point in time. But when you're getting back to the Who, man, you could have went with anything on this. Won't Get Fooled Again was an obvious pick. Baba O'Reilly, for me, we talked about this on Spellbinding Songs. This song always leaves me with my jaw on the ground. But I mean, realistically, this album's so stacked, you could have picked any song and I would have went, yeah, that works. But Behind Blue Eyes is an undeniable staple. I won't say Limp Bizkit's is better than The Who. It's certainly not in any way, shape, or form. But it introduced a lot of people that were our age that didn't listen to classic rock to The Who from Limp Bizkit's version. So I do think that these covers that happened decades later, where it puts a spotlight back on the original song that we all grew up loving, or that a lot of people grew up loving, I think is a great thing.
Yeah, definitely.
And following that up, I feel like it'd be silly to pivot out of classic rock. Maybe we just continue and make side one all classic rock and then take side B elsewhere. So with that said, so many options here. All right. When my mom was pregnant with me, she talked about listening to an album every day during her pregnancy. And that album was one that, for some reason, I took a liking to when I was on this side of the universe and growing up. And I spent a lot of time looking at this album cover, and I was mesmerized by the beauty of Stevie Nicks and the arrogance of Mick Fleetwood, if you'd call it.
Hubris?
Yeah, maybe. He's proud of himself. Let's go with Rumors.
All right.
I mean, the album is an absolute masterpiece. We learned that it was a masterpiece again in the 90s when they came back. That album exploded, and then everyone went back and realized how amazing Rumors was. You had that 90s tribute to Rumors that included Sister Hazel and the Cranberries and Elton John. It was called Legacy, incredible tribute album. This album to me is literally ingrained in my DNA. My mom listened to this every night when she was pregnant with me. And to this day, there's not a song on it I don't love. It's one of my favorite albums of all time.
And that's what I was going to ask. You consider this a perfect album?
Oh, God, yeah. Absolutely perfect. I mean, yeah. Okay, if I was going to deduct a half a point, it would be that Silver Springs wasn't on the original Rumors.
Oh, right.
I think that's the only criticism I can make, is that they left the song off, because that song is so, when you listen to the deluxe edition of the album and you hear it on there, it's like, oh, wow, I can't picture this album without it. So that's my only critique on the album. That's how perfect it is. But to pick the song to go for this playlist, and I'm going to go from a playlisting perspective here, because you had Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You and Behind Blue Eyes. I'm going to go with The Chain.
Nice. That is, yeah, I would, that's where I would have gone as well. I do think that this is a perfect album. This is an album you listen to with no skips. And the singles that came off of the song that have been so far reaching, that they're still being used by social media influencer, musician types, content creators, not necessarily influencers, but these songs just keep coming back. And Go Your Own Way is one of my favorite songs mm-hmm. to play and sing in cover bands that I've done a couple of them. And it's that syncopated strum pattern that Lindsey has is just unreal. Gold Dust Woman is a fantastic album closer. I just can't say enough good stuff about this album. And The Chain is an excellent, excellent choice for a song.
All right. So what are you going to follow that up with?
Oh, all right. Let's start When Rock and Roll Began. I think it's time to talk about the elephant in the room, and we can get into the Beatles.
Ah.
And I think you can't go anywhere with the Beatles without Abbey Road.
So, you totally scooped me.
I mean, listen, you can use Sgt. Pepper. You could mm-hmm. use the White Album. You could please me. All of them just give you that image in your head. But I think that when you talk about Abbey Road, when them all crossing the with the street in the crosswalk with the mm-hmm. with the old cars behind them, and the side story, the conspiracy theory, is Paul dead? What does it mean? Is, you know, with the different meanings of what they're dressed as in this, and that, you know, John is barefoot, and what does that mean? And it's such an iconic album cover, and I just, you'd be remiss if you left that off of any list like this.
I'm not gonna lie, dude, that was gonna be my side closer for this side, so you totally scooped me on this one. Philip Bergman chimed in with Revolver, another one you could easily go
absolutely.
With.
Absolutely.
The White Album, one of my favorite memes. Anytime I see it, I always repost it, is the one where it says, pick up your limited edition t-shirt of the Beatles White Album for $49.99. And it's literally just a white t-shirt.
Haynes,
I love
t-shirt.
That. There's something about the Beatles knew how to capture people's attention. And the White Album did that in its simplicity, in it being so plain. But Abbey Road, I can't imagine the amount of foot traffic that street has to this day. How many times a day do you think people are trying to recreate that photo? Families,
single
people. How is that they really should consider shutting that section down and just making it a landmark, because so many people probably block traffic to make those photo moments happen. And I swear, if I ever get back to London again with the family, that's going to be one of the first things I do. I mean,
definitely.
How the hell can't you?
You have to. You're not a musician or a music fan if you don't. So get over to London, clog the streets, take it up, take it all down.
Sorry to all our friends in the UK listening.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
We're just being leaf peepers.
Well, I mean,
like we would call the people up in New England when you go up there and stare at leaves. That's kind of the equivalent overseas as being the Abbey Road peepers.
That's right. That's right. But even, I mean, it's so iconic that even poor people like me can't go to London, and we still try to do it in crosswalks outside, you know, outside the street on Chicago or in Atlanta or New York City. There, you know, wherever there's a crosswalk, people will try to do. New York City, I wouldn't recommend that.
I was going to say, if you're going barefoot in New York City, that's a whole other set of problems.
Well, the fact that you probably get hit by some taxi cab driver who, you know. And they
will now the toughest part of this one, because Abbey Road is another masterpiece.
Yes, absolutely.
What song?
Carry That Weight is got to be one of my favorite songs off this album. But I'm gonna stick with the album starter. I'm going to go with Come Together for this one. Just because coming out of The Chain, that's a great dark turn on that.
All right. All right. Well, we got the Beatles in. So I guess now that that's off the table, I'd better scoop the Stones before you do that next.
The age old argument.
Yeah.
Who's better, the Stones or the Beatles?
And I think we need to save that for a separate episode in and of itself. I think that Beatles and Rolling Stones argument is a fun discussion for another time. But personally, I'll just start the fire a little bit, a little kindle here. I'm a bigger Rolling Stones fan. Don't at me. I'm sorry. I just love the Rolling Stones. I got to see them for the first time last year, and I'm so glad I was able to check that off my list. But you think about iconic album covers, Let It Bleed, Exile on Main Street, Beggar's Banquet, the band cover, Some Girls, even Voodoo Lounge in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
But when it all boils down to it, I think we have to go with Andy Warhol and Sticky Fingers.
Oh, nice.
When you talk about the sex that came from rock and roll in that era, this was definitely leaning into that with yeah. the shot of the crotch and the pants. And it's very typical of the weirdness that kind of comes out in an Andy Warhol album cover. I mean, you go all the way back to I'm Still Swingin', which was an album that Joe Newman put out that Andy Warhol made the album art for. That's an interesting album art. Then you take into consideration The Velvet Underground and Nico with just the banana that you could peel off. That was very right. Andy Warhol. Then you jump into the 80s. You had Emotions in Motion by Bob Seger and Aretha Franklin's 86 self-titled album. All Andy Warhol. I'm not the biggest Velvet Underground fan in the world. I respect the album. I respect the art. And I feel like you can't have an album art episode and not talk about Andy Warhol. So I'm doing that through Sticky Fingers. And oh God, this is another one. You could go in any direction. Brown Sugar. Can't You Hear Me Knocking?
Scandal noted.
Oh, You Gotta Move, Bitch. But coming out of Come Together, I'm going to go with Wild Horses.
Great.
I mean, tying it into the 90s, you have the Sunday's Beautiful version.
Mm-hmm.
That was incredible, and they used it in that movie Fear. But Wild Horses is one of those songs that repeatedly gets covered in the country music scene over and over again. And every time I hear it, I'm like, man, that's so good. But then you go back and listen to the original, which they played when I saw them.
Oh, great.
At MetLife. There's just something about this song that just makes the hair on my arm stand up. And because we're going in and out with this kind of like heavy and it's kind of an ebb and flow like a classic rock album would, After the Chain has that big ending, rocking out, and then you have Come Together, with, you know, kind of bring it down a little bit more for Wild yeah. Horses.
No, it's great. It's this song was a friend of mine when they got married. This was their first dance. And I got to DJ that wedding. Was so having that and playing this in cover band in the various bands that I've been in, just on nearly 6 minute romp through, you know, the softer side of Mick, you know, that kind of a thing. And it's a great, a little bit of a soft left, right, on the direction that we've gone in. But I think we needed a ballad here coming out of that.
Yeah.
Well, you talked about Andy Warhol, and I kind of want to talk about those kind of photos. Every band, I think, does one of these where it's the members of the band in a grid pattern. You know, the Beatles had Let It Be.
I mean, we talked about Queen, too, which is not necessarily in the squared-off fashion, but in that essence.
Right. Even a play on that with Guns N' Roses' Appetite for Destruction. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, talking about Andy Warhol and some classic kind of like photography, I think Talking Heads Remain in Light is a great Ooh. Album cover. It brings the four members of the band and it kind of blots out their faces in the red to kind of give it an air of mystery, if you will. And it really catches your eye. And again, I remember as a kid walking into the record store and seeing that album and thinking, oh, what's this about? I'm interested to find out what this is about. And boy, am I glad I did, because Once in a Lifetime is an amazing, amazing song. And that's the song I'm going to go with the obvious on the Remain in Light track for the song.
Well, you scooped me on the album cover, but not on the song, because I would have chosen, when it comes to songs, Cross-Eyed and Painless, but that's because I'm a big Fish fan and I love their cover of it. But I do think that this definitely, there's a lot of Talking Heads album covers that you could conceivably make a argument for. Even something like Fear of Music with just the ridges on yes. the album cover. That, to me, I remember seeing that vinyl and holding it and feeling kind of the texture on that album cover. That was something different Then you even jump into the 80s and you have Speak in Tongues and Little Creatures that are both very memorable for 80s album covers. But I actually appreciate you going with Talking Heads here, Jay, because you made my side closer pretty easy.
All right.
You stole the Beatles from me, which would have been an obvious side closer for a side of classic rock. But because you kind of leaned a little bit into new wave here with Talking Heads, I think it's pretty obvious what I'm going to go here to close the side. And some people might argue this, including members of the band, because Elliot Easton and David Robinson are not fans of this album cover. But I'm going with my favorite album of all time, The Cars' self-titled album, the beautiful Natalia Medvedeva. She is just gorgeous. Her smile is so infectious. And I could get why some people might not understand why this is in the discussion. But to me, I've talked about this so many times. The Cars ushered in a new era and a new genre of music. They were one of the people at the forefront of it, making new wave mainstream. And this album cover to me is part of that defining moment. And yes, there is a personal bias on this album. And I'm okay with that because I host the show and I can make up the rules as I go along.
That's right.
I have this one framed on my wall, and there's got to be some personal bias in this because art, just like the music on the album, is very subjective. But if you disagree with this one, I'd love to hear which Cars album you like more. I'm guessing a lot of people might say Candio or Heartbeat City, because I think both album covers, all three of them, are iconic in and of itself. And moving on, that's when David Robinson started designing the album art outside right. of the record company who actually made the art for the self-titled Cars album. Now, picking a song, I'm using a loophole here because it's my show. And I can. And I am choosing Bye Bye Love, Moving in Stereo, and All Mixed Up. Because at the end of the day, those right. three songs are bridged together on the album. If you drop the needle on the vinyl after You're All I've Got Tonight, those three songs are intertwined as one. And I cannot hear the opening to Bye Bye Love and not hear Greg Hawk's sax at the end of All Mixed Up. To me, it's one piece of music. I have it ripped on my phone as one piece of music. I cannot listen to any of those songs separately. I feel weird when it happens. It feels just wrong. Even in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, as much as I love Moving in Stereo in that movie, for some strange reason, I don't know what that reason is, but
I can't put some my odd reason. It.
I have to hear it bookended with Bye Bye Love and All Mixed Up. So closing out side A, The Cars' self-titled album.
Fantastic. Yeah, you've talked about that on a previous episode, if I'm not mistaken. Where you
probably about 500 previous episodes.
yes. But yeah, oh man, again, another perfect album, I think. You know, we're talking about the origination of what effectively brought New Wave to the United States and really turned it into a very pop culture phenomenon. Moving in Stereo being used during the great swimming pool scene and Judge Reinhold.
Phoebe Cates became a household name.
Hey,
what can I say?
You know, what can you say? But which became lampooned in the Something About Mary, Ben yep. Stiller, some time later. Great way to close the album. I love it. I love it.
Well, there you have it, folks. Side A of the ultimate iconic album art mixtape, which consists of Queen's News of the World and Spread Your Wings, David Bowie's Aladdin Sane and the Gene Genie, Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon and Great Gig in the Sky, Led Zeppelin's One and Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You, The Who's Who's Next and Behind Blue Eyes, Fleetwood Mac's Rumors and The Chain, Rolling Stones' Sticky Fingers and Wild Horses, Talking Heads' Remain in Light and Once in a Lifetime, and The Cars with Bye Bye Love, Moving in Stereo, and All Mixed Up. Head over to myweeklymixtape.com to view all the album covers and hear all the songs we've discussed in this mix through the gallery and playlist embedded on the episode page.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And now, Jay, I get to kick things off on side B. And side A, I'd say, was a pretty good snapshot of classic rock album covers. So for side B, we're going to go, or at least I'm going to start by going off the beaten path. You could 180 me right back into classic rock land, if you will. But we can't talk iconic album art and not talk Metallica.
Oh, yeah.
We could talk about Kill 'Em All, Ride the Lightning, my favorite Metallica album, Injustice for All. You could even talk the Black Album, which is the flip of the Beatles, the White Album discussion.
Right.
I mean, Metallica is known, especially in those first five albums, for iconic album art. But I think none is more iconic than Master of Puppets. That graveyard with the hands and the puppet strings hanging down.
Yeah, I got chills.
I actually have a 3D album art of that album cover. It's a 3D art piece based on the album cover. I love this album cover so much. And in terms of songs, because it's the start of side A, there's no other choice I can use but Battery. Start off really calm and quiet and then just kick you in the face with intensity. And I guess that little classical bridge will be a way to bring us into side B and ease us out of the classic rock world into something a little heavier.
That's fantastic. Great album. Metallica has so many great songs like that, though, where like your favorite Metallica album is mine as well. Injustice for All, one comes screaming to mind, and that pun intended, because of the gorgeous acoustic intro and then the build into that hammering end of Darkness Imprisoning Me. So good. Based on that song, by the way, based on Johnny Got His Gun, a novel, which I read in 10th grade, I want to say. But wow, yeah, Battery's great tune. Great pick. Okay, let's stay there. Let's go with Iron Maiden. I know one of your Patreon supporters had mentioned Iron Maiden, and again, you could go with Power Slave. I agree wholeheartedly. Power Slave is a great album with the pyramids and the imagery there. I'm going to go with Number of the Beast, though, because that is the album that I was introduced to Maiden with, and it also contains some of my favorite Iron Maiden songs to not only listen to, but to play as well. Run to the Hills, I love soaring on that vocal when I play that song. Hallowed Be Thy Name, Number of the Beast, obviously, 22 Acacia Avenue, The Prisoner, great, great songs. And I think for the song that I'm going to pick off of that, I think I'm going to go with Run to the Hills.
Nice. And Jay, I don't know if you did this on purpose or not, but the synergy between the puppet strings on Metallica's Master of Puppets and the puppet strings that Eddie's using to control Satan in the album cover, I feel like that's a theme here, and I love that. I love that.
Yeah, totally not coincidental. I did that on purpose.
Okay, and I love the fact that Eddie is in this discussion, because when you talk about iconic album covers, if you're into metal music, I feel like you can't have that conversation without Eddie being in the discussion. And along with Eddie, when I think of Eddie, I immediately also think of Vic Rattlehead from Megadeth. And following up Metallica and Iron Maiden, we are definitely going to keep this metal thing going. Rust in peace.
Oof. Fantastic.
All of the world leaders around it gets a little political, but it's still Vic Rattlehead holding up the kryptonite. You've got that body of the alien inside the tube. To me, Peace Sells is also an incredible album cover, and including some of the later ones that they've done. Dystopia, I thought, was a really cool album cover.
Absolutely.
And Megadeth and Vic is just as synonymous as Iron Maiden and Eddie. And I feel like we'd be doing a disservice to not talk about them back to back, similar to the Beatles and Rolling Stones on side A. And as far as music goes, God, this is another tough one. I can go with the title track, Holy War is the Punishment's Due, Tornado of Souls, Take No Prisoners. I'm going to go obvious, Hangar 18.
Hangar 18.
Yeah. I mean, Battery, Run to the Hills, it's got to be Hangar 18, right?
Yes, definitely. Had a great opportunity in 1999 to cover Woodstock in Rome. We lovingly dubbed Rome Stock, and got to interview Dave Mustaine and just riffed on this record particularly for a couple of questions, and then, you know, talked about the newer stuff that they were doing. And it was, I mean, that is, check that box, right? That's a dream come true.
Wait a minute, all the years we've been podcasting and you haven't called in a favor to get...
Oh, I wish.
Dave on?
This isn't another Donny Osmond moment for me.
He'll remember you, Jay.
Sure.
You had board shorts on. I am sure of it.
There it is. Yes. Yeah. Dave, remember the guy that came over and he had the board shorts on and WSYR 194 FM t-shirt on? Yeah.
He's going to be like, yep. How could you forget that?
Yeah. You'll never forget that. Please lose this number.
All right. Trifecta of metal. What do you got next?
Let's take a little bit of a veer to the left on this and go heavy punk. I think, you know, we've been doing a lot of like classic stuff, 70s, 80s, even, you know, in early 90s heavy metal. Let's talk about some alternative and the reemergence of like punk and how that came into pop punk. And I want to talk about The Offspring.
Oh,
Smash.
Nice.
With the album art being of the Human Skeleton. And this was kind of my introduction to this group was back in when I was programming the college radio station and we'd flip formats and it was just, you know, this came out and it was just rocking all the way through. Wow. I mean, you've got such great songs on that that were huge radio hits. Come Out and Play, obviously, was the big one. Self-Esteem is one of my favorite songs. Gotta Get Away. Where can we go with this?
I know where I would go, but I'm curious to see what you pick.
Let's see. Coming out of Hangar 18, I'll go with Bad Habit.
Yes!
Yeah, I think that's a good call.
That is the correct answer. Driver's So Rude, Such Attitude. I love it.
It's excellent.
Yeah. Coming out of metal, that to me makes the perfect ease out of metal into punk from that album. But now you've opened up Pandora's box, Jay, because now we're in the punk universe.
Yes. All intentional, friend. We got to shake this up a little bit.
Yeah, and that we are. And I mean, obviously, when you think punk, there's the Ramones self-titled album. Bad Religion has some incredible album covers, Social Distortion. But when I think about punk album covers, I have to go to the one that immediately jumps into my mind with the logo being modeled after Elvis Presley's album and the iconic image of Paul Simonon smashing his bass.
There is only one.
On the stage at the Palladium in New York City, it's London Calling by The Clash. I mean, when you think about an album cover that tells you this is what you're about to hear, this says it. And again, Train in Vain, Death or Glory, The Guns of Brixton, Brand New Cadillac. This album is just perfect. But I'll go title track. I'll do opening track and title track, London Calling, just like I did with Battery on Master of Puppets. It sets the tone for Definitely. What you're about to hear.
Could have gone with Revolution Rock as well. Another, you know, just kind of a, hey, this is what you're in for. Buckle up. But what a great introduction into the punk world. And then, you know, obviously The Clash kind of separated out a little bit and did Big Audio Dynamite. And we had a whole bunch of different things. Train in Vain was kind of a departure for the rest of the album as well, right? And and that kind of sparked off where Joe Strummer was going to take the band and in the future. But I really agree with you on this. London Calling, you can't leave that off a list.
One of the most iconic punk images ever, maybe.
Absolutely. I mean, it describes exactly what the punk movement was. And again, you know, you mentioned and how that influenced, you know, without The Clash, without Black Flag, you don't get half of that stuff. Green Day, Bowling for Soup, you don't get Blink 182, which is, you know, more of the pop fun side of things. But, you know, good music is good music, man. You can't,
yeah, and
you can't
all,
go wrong.
Every single one of those that you just mentioned could easily go into this list. I mean, I think about Green Day's Dookie as an iconic album cover. I mean, yeah, a lot of people are going to think that iconic album art is mainly in classic rock. And I like where we're going here on side two, kind of dipping into some different genres here. What do you got now? Because we're starting the second half of side B.
I'm going to feel really badly if I don't do this, but I'm going to feel really badly if I do.
Okay.
I'm going to take us completely off the road here. And I'm going with, I'm going to go into, hold your breath. I'm going to go into a new genre that we haven't covered yet that we really need to cover. And that is hip hop and R&B.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's time to get some love in here for that genre. And growing up in little everybody was related to each other town in upstate New York, you know, I took to 90s hip hop like it was insane how well I can still perform some of these songs. And people look at me like I'm crazy. But I loved A Tribe Called Quest and Low End Theory. So I'm going to put that right here. It is a very hard right from The Clash. But I think, you know, how we keep that tied in is the fact that that genre in that time period was kind of punk in its own right. And it did an amazing tectonic shift in American society and in American culture, you know, calling those fights into the spotlight. Public Enemy, Tribe, and even, you know, some of the more of the West Coast stuff that was coming out and getting into, you know, right up into Jay-Z and Biggie Smalls and Cypress Hill. And it all started with guys on the corner grousing about, you know, the fight that they were in. And I think, you know, that's iconic in and of itself to me in terms of the contribution to the music scene that R&B and that hip hop genre brought.
Punk was counterculture and hip hop was counterculture.
100%.
And from that standpoint, musically, yes, the genre might be a little bit of a pivot, but I can't tell you how many playlists I have that combine hip hop songs and rock songs and punk songs together because it's a vibe. It's not necessarily a genre anymore. I work out to hip hop songs all the time.
Absolutely.
Ice Cube's Wicked goes right into any song by Korn or Limp Bizkit or into Metallica and then into Bad Religion. They all get me hyped up and excited to do whatever I'm doing. So I feel that from a musical perspective as well as from a counterculture perspective.
Yeah, you're saying the exact same thing that I was trying to say, but far more eloquently than
Well, what song are you choosing from Low End Theory? Because to me, that's the hardest question of them all.
Oh, man. I mean, Scenario's a great tune. Was my introduction, of course, to the band off MTV. But I would be remiss if I didn't go with Check the Rhyme. I think that's the way you go with it.
Hell yeah, man. An undeniable classic album. My favorite Tribe album. So glad they're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Deservedly so. They changed the face of hip hop forever.
Absolutely.
And what they did on this album is just nothing short of masterful. And I am going to follow that up because I talked about just now the fact that I love mixing rock and rap and punk all into my playlists together. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the reasons I enjoyed doing that was because of my love for this next album. So yes, it's going to fall a little bit into the hip hop side of things like you're doing with A Tribe Called Quest, but it's also going to harken back to side A and some of our classic rock roots because this band sampled Led Zeppelin a lot on this album. And you bring in Rick Rubin when he's young and hungry and trying everything under the sun and throwing spaghetti at the wall to see what sticks. And you get a masterpiece like the Beastie Boys' License to Ill. Talking about an album cover that I stared at on cassette, then on CD, and then on vinyl. I owned all three. Now I only own the CD and the vinyl. My cassette, sadly, is no longer with me. But that album art of the smashed airplane in the side of the mountain, where if you hold it into a mirror, the number on the side spells out, "Eat me." And everything, it signifies like a broken joint in the cover as well. It's so symbolic. and so intriguing. And this, I'd say, continues that mindset of when you look at the album art and then you hear the music, it does tie together really well. And the fact that Eminem presented his Kamikaze album using a play on this album art.
Yep.
So arguably the greatest, if not one of the greatest hip hop artists of all time, paying homage to this album says to me that the album art inspired future generations and deserves a spot on this list. Now, when it comes to songs, and look, I completely understand why the band distanced themselves from girls as they matured and got older. They even referenced it in Sure Shot. And, you know, look, young people say stupid things sometimes, and maybe it was even a hindsight is 2020 moment for them. I also understand that the song Fight for Your Right to Party didn't go over with the message that the band had in mind, and people actually took it as a party song. And, you know, some of those things happen, but at the end of the day, it's so tough to pick something on this album. Brass Monkey, The New Style, Paul Revere, Slow and Low. There's so much to go from here. Then there's the fact that Rhymin' and Stealin' is one of my favorite Beastie Boys songs ever. However, No Sleep Till Brooklyn has to be my pick, because of my wife and my story of when we were dating, driving up to New Hampshire. This song came on as we were crossing over the then Tappan Zee Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a mention that Kerry King from Slayer plays the guitar solo on No Sleep Till Brooklyn. 3 hours later, we were passing the Holyoke Mall in Massachusetts, ready for a pit stop. So we pull off into the mall, go have lunch and walk around. And I said, by the way, if you could tell me who played the guitar solo in Beastie Boys' No Sleep Till Brooklyn, I will buy you an engagement ring right here and right now. That didn't go over so well. But we are married 20-something years later. So I ended up doing it eventually. But at the time, that became an inside joke between the two of us. And anytime the Beastie Boys came on, she would be like, really, really, really. And just recently, Kerry King made an appearance at WrestleMania. And she turned to me and she said, the No Sleep Till Brooklyn guy, huh? And I said, finally.
There it is.
Well, there it is. 20-something years later, this has paid off. This story has a conclusion. So that is my song choice for tonight.
I love it. That's fantastic. Yeah, you're absolutely right. This is another perfect album. You could have picked any song off of that. And again, girls scandal noted. But yeah, Rhymin' and Stealin's a great one. And I really like No Sleep Till Brooklyn as a choice on that. That's a coming out of Tribe. That'll work.
And I could have easily went with Paul's Boutique as well. Another iconic album cover, especially for those living in the five boroughs in New York and New Jersey, the tri-state area.
Sure.
People know that location. And that was iconic as well. However, I spent so much time staring at the J card of License to Ill when you spread it open and then, like, you know, really squinted at those song lyrics because they were tiny. I think that's why I have eye problems now, but I digress.
Yeah.
Track 8, Jay, what do we got coming out of metal, punk, hip hop?
Oh, then my. A mix of hip hop and rock, I think, will dovetail us back onto the rails of classic rock. And one of my favorite albums. My favorite perfect albums, 1976's Boston Self-Titled.
Oh, of course. I had this in my list for side A, and we didn't get there, and I was already feeling guilt about it, so thank you for writing this wrong. Jay, I have to ask, this might be a personal question. How old were you when you discovered that it was an upside-down guitar on the Boston album cover and not a spaceship?
I think I was in high school for sure. I'm pretty
but
sure.
But when that moment hit, because let's be honest, we all looked at that album for many years before we realized it. And then one of your buddies came over and was like, is that a guitar? And it's like,
yeah, the big, the How I Met Your Mother, the glass shattering. But all of their albums, right, were a theme and variation on that. So yes. Don't Look Back had the Biodome in the center, the sound hole. And then Third Stage was the new modern electric guitar with the Biodome at the pickups. And mm-hmm. that was Theme and Variation. This is an album for me, had I but a pinky tip worth of the talent that Brad Delp had, vocal talent. I mean, the notes that that guy could stratospherically just, him and the lead singer Steelheart, like, I don't want to butcher his name right now. So, you know, every time I heard it, there's something I could inspire to. And when you and I met 25 years ago, we went out to some karaoke bar in Jersey somewhere, and you said, all right, you're getting up there and you're going to do more than a feeling. And I thought, oh God, here we go. And I nailed it. I was really proud of myself, but I could not replicate that. Not anymore. For a song, there, again, perfect album. Where do you go?
Every song was a hit, pretty much.
Every song, yep. Let's see, coming out of the Beastie Boys with No Sleep Till Brooklyn.
I have a pick for sure. I don't know. I want to see what you go with, but I have an obvious one.
I love Foreplay Long Time.
Yeah.
I really do. All right, let's go with it.
Sorry, I'm swaying the decision there, but oh my God, that opening.
Smokin' is another great, like, driving blues rock song, though. It's so good.
Oh, it's there's not a bad song on the album.
Definitely. But yeah, let's stick with Foreplay Long Time on that one, just because it's anthemic.
All right, we each have one pick left, Jay. And for my last pick of the evening, I'm going to go with a concept more so than a singular album cover. Because I guess if at first you don't succeed, try again. Not that there was a lack of success the first time this happened. So the first time is going to be the one I'm going to go with. However, when you recreate an album cover five different times after the original, I think it means you like the concept. And when Weezer did the Blue Album, the Green Album, the Red Album, the White Album, the Teal Album, and the Black Album, it's a concept that to me is so simple, but in terms of standing out, people talk about the Weezer color albums more than anything that outside of Pinkerton.
Yeah.
People
talk
about
the only one.
Pinkerton's the one album that really, for Weezer fans, jumps out in the conversation. But otherwise, it's like, oh, I'm a Blue Album guy. I'm a Green Album person. Some people do like the Red Album. Obviously, the White, Teal, and Black albums have love and hate, Teal being all cover songs, which right. I love, but I can understand why people don't like it because they were a little color by numbers for the cover songs. However, the Blue Album is what started this off. I thought about going with Nirvana's Nevermind here because that's another iconic. I mean, Jay, my brain, I'm thinking about grunge and I'm thinking about the 90s and I'm thinking about even simple albums like Counting Crows, August and Everything After.
Sure.
Rage Against the Machine self-titled album. All these iconic album covers. We haven't even scratched the surface yet.
Yeah.
And so I guess just for the sake of throwing in something 90s, just we have the Offspring Smash and we have A Tribe Called Quest's The Low End Theory, but I wanted something that was a distinctly 90s vibe and a distinctly 90s moment. And I think the Blue Album, in its simplicity, captures that.
Definitely.
Maybe as much as Nevermind, but not quite to the stratospheric heights because the Nevermind album cover has become pop lore over and over and over again over the years, especially with the kids suing Nirvana and then suing them again and then going out and doing appearances but suing them again. I don't know.
Right.
I mean, it,
biting
it keeps
the hand
popping.
That feeds you.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. With all that said, Weezer's Blue Album and Surf Wax America.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful.
I know it's weird musically coming out of Foreplay in Long Time, but I just love that song so much.
There wasn't really any way to kind of come back unless you wanted to go back into the pure classic rock end.
I was going to say, maybe Say It Ain't So might fit musically better after Foreplay in Long Time because it has a little bit of that classic rock edge to it.
Sure.
Especially in the with the chorus. But Surf Wax America is just such a fun song.
It is.
And for my last pick of the night, I wanted to have a little fun.
I love it. The Blue Album is one of my favorite albums of all time. Definitely one of the favorite albums to come out of the 90s. It holds a great meaning for me. Again, we were celebrating the format flip. Went out to a bar up on the hill that on the SU Hill that has closed and opened, and I won't mention it by name. It's closed and opened so many times because of reasons, and let's say but we were all sitting in that bar that night, and Undone, the Sweater Song, came on, and we were just having a pitcher sangria and having a great time. And you know, that is a fantastic album. Great pick. Leaving me with the big close.
Yeah, you have to close us up tonight, man. And these are, I mean, for all intents and purposes, 19 incredible, game-changing album covers. And you have to put the cherry on top of this one.
No pressure.
None. Wow. This is easy.
Oh.
One album cover to rule them all.
Yeah. I'm going to end this the way I started it. 1969, a group that blended jazz, rock, and a little bit of funk, maybe a little R&B in there, and then all of a sudden hooked up with David Foster and became what Brian would consider the worst ballad band on the face of the earth. Although I disagree with
that. I love Look Away, man. I love Look Away.
Yeah. Chicago Transit Authority, the first album.
Wow.
It's a hard right coming out of Weezer.
Yeah, but it's, a little bit.
What a great way to, you know, it's the album that started that band. Again, it's one of those buckle up, bumpy ride, this is what you're in for kind of thing. This is unlike anything that, you know, the 82 to 89 era produced. And again, no, I throw no shade at David Foster. I think he's a brilliant songwriter, good producer. But I think that, you know, Chicago Transit Authority is an absolute gem of an album. And it really did its job to introduce us to Robert Lamb and Peter Cetera, Terry Kath, rest in peace. And the greatest horn section, like amazing, amazing music to come off of that. As for songs, where do you go from Weezer's Surf Wax America? Where do you go? South California Purples, maybe? Or just stick with the greats and go with Does Anybody Really Know What Time It Is? I think that's where we close.
Wow. Unbelievable way to close. The Painted Shingle is what the album is titled on Chicago's website. And I remember when you and I were talking about this, when you were living in New Jersey, we were driving around talking about Chicago, because that's the kind of stuff you and I do. Basically, all this episode is, when I bring you on, is just you and I having any conversation we would have normally in the car, just recorded.
Huh, that's how Tune Styles was born.
Exactly. We were talking about Chicago's 80s stuff, and you said, you know, it's such a 180 from what they did on the Chicago Transit Authority. And at the time, even though my parents owned the album, the only songs that I really remembered was Does Anybody Really Know What Time It Is? And Beginnings, I think, was the other one that really stuck out at me. But then you put on Introduction and I was like, oh yeah, I forgot how amazing this album is. And Jay, I don't know if you've heard it, but online, you could hear it on any of the streaming sites, as well as there's a CD and vinyl version. There's a 50th anniversary remix of the album. And if you want to hear this like you've never heard it before, with instrument separation, that you feel like you're surrounded by the Chicago Transit Authority, you need to look this remix up. It is un-friggin' believable, on the same level as some of the stuff that Steven Wilson did for the Jethro Tull remixes.
When did that come out?
A couple of years ago, the 50th anniversary. Oh, so I want to say it was 2019.
So, yeah, that had to be okay. I'll have to check that out. I have that missed my radar completely. But yeah, when I moved back to New York in 2016, I kind of got, you know, reintroduced to that album, if you will, by one of my ops, who's a big fan of music, and was playing that song while cleaning out one of the storage closets, and playing that album, and it was just. I was like, oh yeah, this Steve Winwood influences on I'm a Man. Just amazing, amazing writing, amazing musicianship, musicality. You know, it's 60s, late 60s, early 70s production. What you can't analog production, right? And but I'd imagine that judging that up in the 50th anniversary release has got to sound super good.
And they don't brick wall it. They don't compress it too much. It sounds very open and very
cool.
It's an experience. Let me just say
excellent.
That.
Yeah, I'm going to find that right after we're done here.
Well, let me get you out of here then. There, folks, concludes side B of the Ultimate Iconic Album Art episode, which kicked off with Metallica's Master of Puppets and Battery, Iron Maiden's Number of the Beast and Run to the Hills, Megadeth's Rust in Peace and Hangar 18, Offspring's Smash and Bad Habit, The Clash's London Calling with the title track, A Tribe Called Quest's The Low End Theory with Check the Rhyme, Beastie Boys' License to Ill with No Sleep Till Brooklyn, Boston's self-titled with Foreplay and Long Time, Weezer's Blue Album, Green Album, Red Album, White Album, Teal Album, and Black Album, but going with Surf Wax America from the Blue Album, and Chicago Transit Authority's self-titled with Does Anybody Really Know What Time It Is? Head over to myweeklymixtape.com to view all the album covers and hear all the songs we've discussed in this mix through the gallery and playlist embedded on the episode page.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Jay, once again, I think it goes without saying that there will be a volume 2 for this. We are not doing this back to back the way we did a few months ago with fictitious bands. So we'll have to put a pin in that for now. But if you are out there listening and there is an iconic album cover that you feel Jay and I missed, chime in, email me at myweeklymixtape@gmail.com or hit me up on the social media channels at myweeklymixtape and let me know what album you would include on this list of iconic album covers. And Jay, as always, thank you so much for joining me on My Weekly Mixtape. Look forward to the next time, man.
Thanks for having me, Bri.
And to those listening, remember, you can join the Mixtaper community for free over at patreon.com/myweeklymixtape. There are also several tiers if you'd like to support the show a little extra, as well as check out the full catalog of My Weekly Mixtape episodes over at myweeklymixtape.com. Once again, my name is Brian Colburn. This has been My Weekly Mixtape, and I will see you next week with another musical conversation. Thanks for listening.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at rss.com.